Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, we welcome Sean Wells. And I have to tell everybody, especially after I recorded this first interview with Sean, he and I have been going back and forth for several months trying to schedule our first interview, actually, and for myriad reasons, some scheduling on my end, a lot of scheduling on my end. And also, Sean's had a number of surgeries. I call him the $6 million man. For any of you that are old like me, you may remember that show about the bionic man. But he acts like it's no big deal. He's had like what I feel like are 17 surgeries in the past few months. And he's like, it's no big deal, I'm fine. But anyway, we've been trying to schedule this interview for ages. And after we recorded this today, I was just so excited that we did, and so excited that we've locked him and I in, or him and I down, to record a podcast, a recurring show that's going to be here on Fitfluential Radio weekly. Sean is so intelligent, articulate, and well-spoken on the topics, not only of supplements, but so many other health-related, fitness-related topics. You're going to learn so much from him. And I'm just so excited. I've got to try to think back to see who it is that first introduced me to Sean, but he is truly the gift that keeps on giving. And in this first episode, we're really kind of talking about, how do I say it? Supplements 101. Some of the BS that's floating out there about supplements. People that aren't taking supplements often think it's snake oil in a bottle, right? They're confused about what to take, why to take it, what to look for. And you'll see in this episode, I learned things that I ended up going and talking to my trainer about, because I had no idea that this was what I should be looking for when I'm considering supplement A over supplement B. So if you are new to taking supplements, confused by taking supplements, want more information, want to feel more comfortable, this is the first of dozens of shows we'll be recording on this topic. I feel strongly that knowledge is going to help really in any area of health, but particularly it's going to help you in regards to choosing supplements and picking the right ones that will do just that, supplement and greatly enhance your fitness, health, and wellness journey. Just a little bit from Sean's official bio, and he has a lot of titles behind his name that have acronyms. I'll see if I can share that with you as well. Let's just say the guy knows his stuff. Sean Wells is a scientist with a unique and rare blend of knowledge in the field of performance nutrition and supplementation. He attended UNC Chapel Hill, earning a master's degree in nutritional biochemistry, say that 10 times fast, and a minor in exercise science. His education, along with the credentials of registered dietitian and certified sports nutritionist, distinguished him as an expert in performance nutrition. You'll pick up on this again in the interview. Sean has held the role of chief clinical dietitian with over a decade in acute and skilled nursing care, grounding his ethics and practice of patient-focused care, fulfilling the position of CEO of Zone Halo Research. In 2011, Sean took his experience and passion to become director of R&D at Dymatize Nutrition. Dymatize Nutrition, now owned by Post Holdings, has cemented its role as the global leader in finished product research and innovation with over 200 products in more than 50 countries. Sean currently works for the top non-GMO and natural dietary supplement company in the industry, BioTrust Nutrition, as their chief science officer. He heads R&D, quality control, and the regulatory departments at BioTrust. I can tell you I learned about BioTrust Nutrition from my good friend Valerie Waters, celebrity trainer, who has also been interviewed on the show. I've tried their products. I think that they're excellent and can strongly recommend them personally And no, I have not been paid to say that. So I encourage you to dive into this show. For those of you, again, that are skeptical or just kind of kicking the tires on supplements, you're going to start to really learn a lot in this episode. I know I did. There's some key takeaways that can start to help you immediately. And again, make sure you keep tuning in because this is the first of every week a show we'll be doing, Sean and I together. And we'll also have Facebook Lives coming up to complement these where you can engage with Sean and I directly live on Facebook. Sit back, enjoy this episode and this interview with Sean Wells. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Alexa. And today on the show, I almost feel like I should do a drum roll because I have Sean Wells with me, somebody who mostly it's been my fault, but he and I have been trying to reschedule this podcast, this first in a series of many. We're going to have him on the show every week this year. But we have been going back and forth trying to schedule this interview, most of this being my fault. But Sean is also what I call the $6 million man. I'll explain why later. But Sean, welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm so excited that you're here.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here as well.
We have so much to talk about, and I kind of bragged on you in the intro that I recorded, so everybody is going to have a pretty good idea about you. But whenever I have a guest on the show for the first time, I always like to, you know, let everybody get to know you from a personal fitness perspective. Obviously, it's Fitfluential Radio here. So I'd like you to tell our listeners, for you, when did you first become interested in leading, if you will, of fitness and a healthy lifestyle? Was it something that happened for you when you were young? Did it happen later? And then also kind of use that as well as a segue to talk about, you know, what you're currently doing, because obviously your passion for fitness led you into what you do for a business. Same thing as me. So that was a loaded question, but I'm going to give you the ball and let you run with it.
Yeah, I was in business school going between my sophomore and junior year. And I went to the doctor for a physical, and I was already like getting really passionate about working out. And this doctor, you know, I was telling him I'm in business school, and you know, I think this is just what I have to do. But I was telling him I love this book, Optimum Sports Nutrition by Dr. Michael Colgan, because he's doing like these supplement studies with his Olympic athletes, and he's doing blood work, and I was reading like Muscle Media 2000 and all like using EAS products. And
I was going to say that was Bill Phillips, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I actually started to work at a GNC for the heck of it. And he could see how passionate I was. And he drew out this lifeline for me between, you know, I was 20 at the time, and he drew it out to 80 or 100. And he said, why not be happy between here and here? Cause he could see like how much I was lighting up. But I felt like convinced, like at the time, that, you know, I'm in business school, go make money, don't avoid reality, so to speak, and, you know, just go out in the real world and do whatever you need to do to make money. But he convinced me to pursue my passion, a stranger, and I did just that. So I went to, nutrition school for, I got my master's in nutritional biochemistry and my RD at Chapel Hill, and, the rest became history. But it was around that time that I was really getting into working out. So 19, 20 years old. And then that was what led me to pursuing the nutrition stuff.
So when you were, I'm just curious, because that's what, for me, it was the mm-hmm. era of Body for Life, Bill Phillips, and I remember Muscle Media. I remember you had to, back in those days, like you had to search down where you'd find a Muscle Media magazine, and you were like the legit cool person when you were walking around like, hey bro, I've got like Muscle Media, and people would look at you like you had a higher level of authority. I'm trying to think of how old I was, but I also remember, which this is a very good segue into our topic for today, that was when I read Bill Phillips' Body for Life. And I was following that program. And that was when I first became very serious about weightlifting. And in that book, I think, didn't he recommend certain supplements?
Yeah, he actually had a supplement review guide that he released. But yeah, he talked about them in the individual magazines. But he had like a almost like an encyclopedia that you could order from the magazine and he would send you that reviewed all the supplements.
Yeah.
There's a little bias towards EAS supplements, obviously, but yes.
Just a little. Because remember, there would be forums, the Body for Life forums.
Yep.
And that's how I met quite a lot of my friends. That's frankly, before I even realized it, the embryonic phases of Fitfluential in my brain, because I was, ultimately, I found a book, I was following a program, I wanted more information, and I was utterly clueless and so scared. I remember when I went to go buy my EAS protein powder. I think it was called something else differently back then. I could be wrong. And those protein bars back then were, God bless Bill Phillips, but they were horrific. The lemon one was awful. Anyway, they're so much better now. But I remember being so, as a woman, intimidated to go into a supplement store and speak intelligently and buy the stuff that he was recommending. Because number one, I had no idea why I was buying it. I didn't know when they said, oh, do you want 5 milligrams or 2 milligrams or whatever it was. I had no idea how to answer because I'm like, I'm just buying it because Bill Phillips said to buy it. I didn't know what I did. I didn't know what to look out for. And so I was always looking for more information. That's why I got into forums. But I think, frankly, fast forward to today, which is, this is what we're going to be talking about today, is supplements. Is it fish oil? You know, how do you get started? What to know, what not to know, kind of 101. I still think that there's, and frankly, we get a lot of people writing into us at Fitfluential, a lot of women who have no idea what supplements are. There's so many of them. They think it's all snake oil. I'm sure you hear this all the time. Mm-hmm. Yep. And if they know other people that are taking them and obviously are very healthy and swear by it, I'd be one of them. I'm around a lot of people that teach me what I need to know. But there's still so much that can be so intimidating. Is this, I mean, you now work in the supplement space and you're so highly respected. You've been part of developing supplements. I'm just going to ask you this. Pretend I'm Joe Blow on the street who runs into Sean Wells and is like, yeah, supplements are all BS. What do you, I bet you get that question all the time where people go, that's just snake oil. It's just people making millions of dollars and it's all, you know, smoke and mirrors. What do you say to people that think supplements and the supplement industry is a bunch of BS?
That's super frustrating to me. Obviously, it's my passion. So when people basically dismiss the whole thing, it's very frustrating. I actually just read an article that was in Ars Technica the other day that was basically saying that same thing, that science says that all these supplements are bogus and you don't need almost any of them. And I would say to that, well, for one, I'm known as the world's greatest formulator. So
that's pretty epic.
It is epic. I didn't even give myself that title. But I think what that involves is that I'm aware of the dosage, the form, meaning the form of that herb or that amino acid or whatever. And the dose means like how much of it, like you were talking about milligrams, grams, whatever, and then method of administration and then the study. So you have to go back to the study and see if it's a double blind, peer reviewed, placebo controlled study. And if it's in healthy humans instead of, you know, it can't just be in a disease population. It can't just be in children or older women or, you know, whatever. And you can't just blanketly apply it to, let's say, you know, if it was an older woman that had, you know, type 2 diabetes, you can't apply that information to, 22-year-old fit male that's bodybuilding. So you try and look at healthy human population in that kind of best of study, the double-blind placebo-controlled study. And then you look at the dose, the form, the frequency that it was given and the method of administration. So like, let's say it's oral, let's say it's L-citrulline for vasodilation and being fatigue resistant. And, you know, it's 6 grams per use, you know, like that. So like, that's what you want to look at. There's so many supplements that are so effective. Like for example, creatine has over 500 studies on it. How many drugs do you know that have that many studies? There's drugs might have 1 study, 2 studies, 3 studies, maybe. And the studies, they're allowed to, you know, people discredit supplement studies, but these studies from Big Pharma, they're allowed to keep doing them until they get a significant result. So they could have like 10 times of going through the study and seeing no result. And then they get minor, minor level of significance. And that's enough to push it through the FDA. Then they can say it does this, this, and this in the commercials. And that's fine. And it may have a whole slew of side effects, and that's fine.
You brought up, and I'm totally interrupting you, so I apologize, but you brought up a question. You said, how many drugs do you know that have that many studies? So to be honest with you, and you know, I'm not a trainer. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm just a fitness person who has a fitness company, right? I hang around the cool people like you who know this stuff. But I would not be able to answer as a typical consumer. I think I'm a good representation of a typical consumer. I would not be able to tell you what is a good amount. This is what I want to educate on. I can't tell you what's a good amount of studies for a pharmaceutical drug, for, you know, for a pharmaceutical drug. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. Something flew outside the window. For a pharmaceutical drug, for a supplement, for anything. So on that note, when consumers are looking at a supplement, what's a good estimate for the number of studies that should be published? Is there a rule of thumb on that? Because I would have no idea.
Well, for one, if you're looking at a supplement that has a proprietary blend like most supplements do, I would just put it down. Because there's no way for you to know like each ingredient, like what the dose is of each ingredient. So it's called transparent labeling when you can see, let's say it says ginseng standardized for ginsenoside A, 10%, and it's 250 milligrams. Then you know exactly what it's standardized for, what the ingredient is, and it should also say the plant part. So it'd say root, and then it says 250 milligrams. But typically, you see these proprietary blends that have, like, let's say 10 ingredients, and it just says 750 milligrams, the 10 ingredients. Why do they do that? They'll say because, well, this is proprietary to us and, you know, we're trying to keep it secret. We have the special formula. That's not true. What they're doing is it's the expensive ingredients are in there. It does go in order of descending mass. So you can kind of figure out sometimes like some of these ingredients that are towards the end of the blend are getting like 1 milligram. And you think you're getting a full effective dose. You see this ingredient in there, and you're like, oh, I know that ingredient. They were talking about that on TV or in this article. So it's in there, and this product is cheap, so this is great. I'll get this. But you're not getting the effective dose. You're not getting the effective form. That's why almost all these supplements don't work. There's other reasons, too. Like, they don't test out in HPLC testing at a lab. But, I mean, that's a big one right there is the proprietary blends. So you're not getting the dose of what you think you're getting. You're not getting the form of what you think you're getting.
Okay. So I'm realizing how this can be an ongoing series because, again, I think I'm a perfect representation of your average consumer. And I'm probably further as far as knowledge than your average consumer because I'm around these people like you all the time. But what I would say is I'm fortunate enough to be able to to be able to cut through a lot of the bullshit that's out there and know what the better products are. But there's been a lot of, you know, let's go back to Bill Phillips days, right? A lot of the big dogs in the supplement industry, I don't want to mention names, but some of the big brands, they're either still around, but they've all had their share of scandals. And some of them were retailers who have
huge scandals.
Yeah. Where you've been taking something for a while thinking you're getting 20 grams of protein and then, oops, we forgot to tell you there was only 5. So there's a lot of, I think those are the types of things. And, oh, I'm sorry, we put methamphetamine in there. Like, oops.
Yeah.
You know, there's stuff like that that comes out where consumers are like, see, that's why I don't buy any of that. So they make a sweeping generalization about the whole category. And I guess what I would say to you too is, because people ask me this all the time, how do you know what brands are safe? Is there a way, and again, I know you're limited, I believe, there's certain things that you can and can't say as far as recommending things, but if you're Joe Consumer, how do you know what might be the safe, reliable, reputable brands out there? I mean, how many brands are, isn't there like 5,000 different companies in the supplement space? How do you know what to look for?
Yeah.
Good question.
No, it's a good question. And just to go back to what you're talking about with protein, it was actually myself and Dr. Rob Wildman at Dymatize when I was with Dymatize that we worked on that very issue, and we brought light to the whole protein spiking, nitrogen spiking issue that led to a lawsuit. Yeah. And a lot of companies got pulled down in that, like you said, that were, I mean, less than half of what they were listing of actual protein. They were using things that basically it's a nitrogen test to tell the level of protein in these products. And so you can kind of fake out the test by, instead of using protein, which amino acids and protein have nitrogen, but they would use these cheap amino acids like taurine, glycine, arginine, and even things like creatine that aren't even an amino acid, but it's kind of an amino acid derivative, that have nitrogen content, and they were throwing those in the product. And of course, those things are half, a third, a quarter of the price of whey. And so you thought you were getting all this level of protein, 20, 25 grams in a serving, and you were getting 20, 15, 10. Like it was crazy what they were doing. So it was a massive scandal. There were some companies that were doing it very egregiously. Some were just doing a few grams. Some were, like you were saying, it was very egregious. So the problem is with that, it's not to say, like I just said, I like creatine. I like things like taurine. They have benefit. But when you think that you're getting a protein and you're turning on muscle protein synthesis and you think you're getting enough leucine to do that in that protein, you're not. And so you're taking this protein for a reason, you know, to maintain lean body mass, and you're not stimulating muscle protein synthesis potentially by the way that they're scamming you. So that was very frustrating and upsetting for companies that were doing it right. And we were paying, you know, three times the price to make our protein versus some other companies. And then you also pointed out another one, that the whole methamphetamine analogs that were getting put into these products that, you know, people were testing positive for, people were dying from, people were abusing and getting addicted to. You know, certainly there were health implications with these pre-workouts and fat burners containing things that they shouldn't. So yes, those are definitely two big things. As far as what are the best products to choose, again, I would look for a company that doesn't do proprietary blends first. I would look for a company that isn't the cheapest. I mean, if you're picking up something and it's like $5 or $10, I mean, chances are, like the old adage, you know, you get what you pay for. Mm-hmm. You know, I would look at like some of the premium companies that have been around for 10, 20 years. Like if you're looking at a fish oil, you know, like let's say a Nordic Naturals or Barleans. If you're looking at sports nutrition, like an Optimum Nutrition or a Dymatize. I know my company that I formulate for, BioTrust, does a great job because I'm here and I spend a lot of money on testing. But yeah, that's what I'd look for. I'd look for some of these premium companies. They have great reviews online consistently. You know, but again, I'd want to see less is more. If you're seeing like 10, 20, 30 ingredients, you know, that was kind of the way that they used to do formulas. Again, in those proprietary blends where they do what's called fairy dusting, or it's just a milligram of something just so they can put it on the label. So you, as the consumer, says, oh, I see that in there. Yep, I heard about that one. I'll buy this product. Oh, it's got everything I want in it. If the product has like 30 ingredients in it and you're taking one, two capsules or something, that doesn't make sense. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Almost any study for, let's say, certainly herbal extracts, are typically like, you know, 100, 200, 300, 750 milligrams or something per use in a study. So it can't have, you know, a zillion ingredients and have efficacious doses of all these things. It's not going to happen. It would be too expensive. It would be 30 capsules. Like, this is where, like, I think there's a disconnect from consumers, but now they're starting to at least hear from shows like this or read articles or read reviews where hopefully people are educated to some of these scams and calling out some of these companies.
You made so much sense to me, and I'm just keeping it real. Like, I just learned something with what you said because I would not have known. So let me see if I'm articulating this correctly. when I'm going into a vitamin shop, or if I'm looking online and I'm looking at a supplement, the more overall ingredients they have as a rule of thumb, or if it says it's a proprietary blend, it's typically not like, see, someone like me, I would go, oh, it's a proprietary blend. That's special.
Right.
It's actually probably doesn't mean everybody, but it could be that somebody's just going, let's add in a bunch of other stuff, because then nobody can moderate how much of ginseng or turmeric or whatever it is that they're putting in there. And they could be putting in a very, very small amount of it because you don't know, because it's a proprietary blend that isn't being, is that right? It's not being monitored or measured as effectively. So that, I just learned something. I didn't know that. Secondly, when you talk about the dose that people need, and most individuals have not taken their becoming an advocate for their own health and their fitness goals far enough to know what is the dosage of creatine I should be taking for my goals. They just know I should be having creatine, so they go out and buy something. Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year. I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now. I know that you're probably going to laugh when I, because I laugh whenever I see this on social media. Shakeology, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see people all the time when I post, because I try to post on a regular basis on my Instagram that I take all of these supplements every day, and I take a lot of pills. Do I wish that it could come in a brownie? Yes. Do I like swallowing all those pills? No. Do I do it because it makes a difference? Absolutely. It is a supplement to my lifestyle, to my food and to my training. We'll get into that later. But every time I put it up, I'm like, I'll just put a disclaimer afterwards. If you're going to DM me about Shakeology and telling me that, well, if you just took Shakeology, it has all this stuff in it. And I'm wondering, not to throw anybody under the bus, but just to use this as an example, I know that Shakeology is like many supplements or protein powders or whatever out there. And they'll go, well, we have all of this stuff. Is that kind of like, and you don't have to speak specifically about that product, but they'll say, we have ashwagandha, we've got this, we've got this, we've got, and people think, well, that's all I have to take. But what I've said is when I actually looked at the dosages, for me, the amount of ashwagandha or the amount of all the different ingredients that are in Shakeology, they weren't even close to what I needed to take per day. So it doesn't, it's not a fit for me, nor is it a fit for everybody. And yet people will think that. Are there a lot of products like that out there that are like, hey, we're the be all end all. We've got everything adaptogenic. We've got it all in one pill or one shake.
Yeah. If you see something that really promises all in one, you know, that it's, oh, we've got all the probiotics, the enzymes, the multi, the greens, the, you know, everything's in this product, I would highly doubt that's possible. You really want, you brought up a good ingredient like ashwagandha, for example. There are studies on ashwagandha. So you want a pill product that's, you know, I would never really go above 5 ingredients in a product. I think that's a good bar. Maybe if you're using like a ready-to-mix powder, like a pre-workout, maybe 10 ingredients. But again, I'd want to see each ingredient listed with each dose. So, and how it's standardized. And for where possible, it'd be great if there were branded ingredients, because that means, like for ashwagandha, for example, like Sensoril is a branded ingredient, and they do the quality control. They've done the studies. They back their ingredient. And they're going to dictate to you, typically, when you're formulating it, that you have to use it in the correct dose, that you have to use it in the right way if you're going to put their logo on your bottle.
Huh.
So, like, where possible, I would look to get the branded version of these ingredients.
Is that, I honestly didn't even know that you could, like this whole show is schooling me, to be true. I didn't know there was such a thing as like branded ashwagandha.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a few. I think another one's like KJM 66, but there's only two that I can think of off the top of my head. And I'm a big fan of Sensoril. I've formulated with that in the past, and it's 125 milligrams and it's standardized for a few different bioactives. So, you know, again, you have to list these things the right way.
What's a bioactive?
So a bioactive means, like, I have it right here. So Sensoril, and then which is the branded name, and this is how I list it on this bottle. And then we list the Latin plant name, which you're supposed to do. And then you say the plant part. So it says root and leaf extract. And then it says the bioactive, what it's standardized for. So you have the herb, but then it's standardized for an active, which is 10% with thanolide glycosides. So that's like the thing that they believe is what's doing the effect that you're looking for, the thing that's been studied in that plant.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I mean, you're very good at, for everybody that's listening too, by the way, Sean and I have no script. He has no idea the questions I'm asking. And, you know, none of this, we're just like letting it flow. So everything I'm learning along with you. And Sean, I'm just realizing how many subtopics we can address here with this.
Well, I wanted to point out, sorry, one more thing that's another huge issue is that a lot of these companies don't put the money into the quality control side. And like, I've always done this, like we look at the species and we actually test it. So there's HPLC that I have to do to test for this active. And I have to prove out that there's actually that 10% with thanolide glycosides. I have to actually prove that out in the raw material and then in the finished goods that it's still there in the finished goods. But another thing, like we go like an extra level, is that we do an HPTLC test, which actually looks at the species to make sure the species of the plant is pure. What happens a lot in China, where you might source these ingredients, is that they're spiking them. Let's say cinnamon, which is actually very expensive. It's standardized to polyphenols. You probably heard of polyphenols and the benefit to blood sugar and vasodilation and all that stuff. So a cheap way to get polyphenols is from green tea, much cheaper. So what they'll do is they'll spike the cinnamon with some green tea to get the polyphenol count up and save money. And almost all these herbs, like I can tell you, like our ginkgo that I used, we had to go through over 100 suppliers to find a pure version. So again, people say, yeah, they don't work. A lot of them, it's because people are duping you. It's because people are getting over on you. Sometimes they're doing it intentionally. Sometimes they don't even know to know. They don't know to do this level of testing to find out that these, what happens is that herb, when it has something else in it, if that cinnamon, and you're just listing cinnamon on the bottle and you're not listing that green tea that it's spiked with, then that herb is adulterated. Your product is adulterated per the FDA, which means it's illegal. You're not listing the green tea. And they don't even know to know that most of the time. But yeah, a lot of these ingredients are, you know, dubious for sure.
There's so many. I'm going to have a list after we finish this first show of, I told you I'd follow up with you, but like the topic list for what we're going to talk about is going to be a lot more extensive, because I know I have questions and I want to take all the questions we get from FitFluential. I'm going to also ask you, so you and I connected first, but then I was like, oh my God, you work with BioTrust, because I had heard about BioTrust from Valerie Waters, who she had discovered it, and she's very, very picky. Valerie Waters has also been on FitFluential Radio. We'll link up to her show. But she's a celebrity fitness trainer, and she is very, very, very picky about promoting any products, very picky about the purity of ingredients. So I knew when she was promoting a protein powder to her audience, I'm like, I had to pay attention. I think I signed up. I got one of the smaller versions of the protein powder. And I told you, I'm like, this is some amazing stuff. I loved that I could make my zucchini protein bread with it. I could go on and on and on. So I'm a fan of your products. I certainly know when I've gone to the website, there's a tremendous amount of information where I felt comfortable as somebody who watches ingredients. I felt comfortable buying your product, recommending your product. So I'm curious with you being, and I don't know if you're allowed to answer this, so you can let me know, but with you being a part of BioTrust, you know, what, is there something specific that you can say? How, first of all, how long has the company been around? Because you used to be, as you've mentioned, with Dymatize, and you've been with, with other companies. How long has BioTrust been around? And I mean, everything you do, what would you say is your philosophy towards product development? Because I know that you're different than everybody else. Even just when I go to the website, I don't see cheesy, like, get ripped and buff, you know, stupid advertisements. You're different. When somebody is just starting down the supplement line, how do you say that you're distinguishable from so many of these other companies out there? And are you allowed to say that?
Yeah, no, that's fair. BioTrust has been around for over 5 years, almost 6 years, I think. And I guess the biggest difference I would say is, one, I'm very good at what I do, and the CEO, Josh Bazzoni, sought me out. But I also surround myself with experts. So I have what I feel like is the best director of R&D, the best director of regulatory affairs, the best director of scientific affairs that helps us with our studies and our research, the best director of quality control. I have all those people working in the director of supply chain. So I was able to bring on a lot of people, hire these people, and really get the best people around me. I am a jack of all trades, but I am surrounded by real experts, and I'm blessed to have that. But I would say also with BioTrust, what makes it different is I'm very passionate about it. It's not a question of dollars and cents. It's more a question of I am formulating the products that I want to take. I'm formulating the products that I want my mom to be able to use. I want to brag about this product to my friends. I mean, ultimately, this is my legacy. You know, I am in a creative space where if you think about if someone designs a car, you know, Enzo Ferrari or whatever designs a Ferrari, he wants it to be a thing of beauty, like something that works better than any other car for people to say, wow, that is one hell of a car. And that's how I feel about my supplements. I'm not just, you know, I guess people are out there, and that frustrates me too, that like there's so many bad supplements that people are just simply formulating for profit. And I am formulating so that people say supplements really work. I'm formulating so people say supplements are really safe, that I can trust them, that I can trust all of these products now that I tested this one and I really liked it. I mean, the feedback we get on our supplements, or, you know, supplements I've done in the past too, just it's amazing. It's amazing to hear what people are, you know, doing as far as improved blood sugar, improved mobility with their joints. You know, it's quite often, I mean, you're really not supposed to make comparisons to drugs, so I won't, but they're very effective. I'll just say that.
Well, and that's a big part. I think that I feel that we are in a position, meaning myself and Fitfluential, to be able to educate on these topics that need to be educated on, because I know that there's limitations with what the companies can say, like buy this product, this supplement will do this for you, because a lot of them will help certain overlapping conditions, if you will, or overlapping goals. And I do know there's limitations. I feel as a third party, we can do a lot in educating and being a guide. I will also say, because part of our business historically has been doing social media marketing campaigns for brands in the space. We've worked with a lot of supplement companies. I would say more so in the early years. We work with far less now. A lot of that being because of my own personal experience and what I learned as far as all this stuff I'm intaking. I can't just take some bright blue drink and think it's okay and not think that those ingredients are having an effect on my hormones and so on. So a lot of that has changed. And as well, our influencer audience and our audience at large, they're becoming bigger label readers. two or three years ago, I'm going to say maybe 3 or 4 years ago, nobody cared about sucralose or stevia or, you know, artificial color blue number five. They just weren't, nobody cared. They were paying attention to the ads. What I can tell you as listeners is we've worked with a lot of supplement companies. I will not mention any specific names, but I've talked to a lot of the marketing teams and even sometimes the owners of some of these companies who I would not represent at this point. And they're much more interested, whether it's publicly or just when they're hiring a company like ours, much more interested, like what Sean said, in making money, in chasing trends, in making sure they get the hottest social media star to promote their fat burner, or, you know, whoever's competing at the Arnold or the Olympia that year, whoever's hot, getting that person as their spokesperson. They couldn't care less about changing lives or about running studies or the efficacy of the product. They want to make a lot of money, mark it up, go to market and sell. I mean, I've talked to people where I'm like, do you even care if people have side effects? I mean, they're like, no, we just plan to be out of here in 3 years. So I can tell you that the few companies that I've spoken with, Sean and BioTrust is one of them. And he, for the record, did not ask me to mention the company. This is all on my own. He's one of the few that's actually very, you can just hear it. He's very sincere about being real, educating, and paying attention to what's important versus profit first, profit first, profit first. I have talked with so many of these individuals. And so that's our commitment at FitFluential, is helping to educate you all on, hey, these supplements can be just that. They can supplement, they can absolutely change your health for the better. They can absolutely greatly enhance your fitness and your goals in the gym. There's a lot of information that's missing. And I think that can be our part, as well as I'm committed to bringing folks like Sean and other companies in the space that I think are reputable, that are transparent. And there's not a lot, but there are some, and they're to be respected and showcased. And so that's one of our commitments. We're kind of nearing the end of episode one, Sean, if you will, our breakout episode number one. And I think maybe a good place for us to finish today, if you can do this. I don't know if this is too simplistic of a question to ask. If you've got a typical consumer out there who's like, okay, I get it. You know, this stuff can help me. I shouldn't be so skeptical. I'm going to ask two questions. Would you say, because a lot of people think they can go to Walmart and just buy any, you know, and I mean, you see new brands every day. They're at the grocery store. They're at the gas station. Is there a difference for your consumer who's maybe just going to get started buying a protein powder and buying something that's at a gas station or in an airport, right? You can get a protein bar anywhere, and maybe going to a vitamin shop or buying it directly from the brand. So that's question number one. And question number two, I don't know if you're allowed to answer this in your position. Would you say that there's something that if someone's not taking anything other than maybe like a multivitamin, is there something that you would recommend to anybody getting started? Hey, start off with this. Start looking for a good protein powder with 5 ingredients or less, or start off with a essential fatty acid. Can you answer that question? That's my two questions for you in closing.
Yeah. So the first one, do I believe that the potential? Yeah. If you were to go to a vitamin shop, I would believe that you could find certainly better options than you'd find at an airport or convenience store, because those are meant to be lower priced, higher margin items. So there's going to be less quality in those ready to drink shakes or in those bars. They're going to have soy or, you know, a cheap collagen or, you know, something in it like that's saving money. It's not going to be like an expensive whey protein isolate. You know, you're going to find that. And again, you get what you pay for. So if you go to a vitamin shop and you want the best bar or the best ready to drink shake, it's going to be $4, $5, $6, you know. And if you're at the gas station or, you know, the airport will probably charge you that, but that's because they're
they
gouging you.
Water.
Yeah. But if you're at the gas station, it might be, you know, $2 because it's a lower price point. Pay the price, so to speak, for that. So that's what I would say. Certainly you can get better options. And as far as the second question of what I would recommend, kind of as like the starter kit, I guess, is what you're saying. Certainly, if you're working out and you have trouble getting enough protein, or if you're aging and you have trouble getting enough protein, you actually have to hit it's not just a question of how much daily protein grams that you get. It's a question of how much bolus protein grams you get, how much protein at one time that you get, because you have to hit enough leucine in your plasma to turn on muscle protein synthesis. So it's about getting a bolus of protein, meaning getting enough protein. So what amount is that? Like if it was a scoop of whey, it would be about 25 grams of protein. That's enough to probably activate muscle protein synthesis with about 2.7 grams of leucine in that 25 grams of whey protein. But like if you're having, you know, I don't know, some your dinner, your lunch, you know, you might have like 10, 20 grams of protein and it's a different type of protein, like a beef or, you know, whatever it is that you're eating, you might not be getting enough. So this is why, like, as you age and your needs actually go up as you get older because of insulin sensitivity and lowering androgen levels, that people start trading off. It's called sarcopenic obesity. You start trading off muscle mass for fat mass because you're rarely ever turning on muscle protein synthesis. So the problem is, as you're aging, typically the elderly aren't getting enough protein at one dose and their needs are higher. So this is why, like, you start seeing, like, even like that some people aren't necessarily even overweight, but they're kind of skinny fat. They're losing that muscle mass and they're putting on fat mass. And of course, they're not working out enough, probably. That's another aspect of that. So certainly if you're a bodybuilder, or like I was just talking about this situation of maybe you're not getting enough protein because of your higher protein needs, I would get a protein, a good whey protein. But I would recommend a quality multivitamin. I would recommend a quality probiotic and a quality fish oil. Those are kind of like the starter kit. And then if you are like even moderately active, I think some level of creatine monohydrate, super cheap. It works really well. You know, that has not only benefits to lean body mass and strength and power, but also it's been shown to improve cognition and protect the brain. So I would say that's very important as well.
You just reminded me too, because that's one thing I don't have. And I had asked my trainer and I'm like, yeah. And see, these are the kind of questions that I think we should cover on Facebook Lives and on the show, because you can just hear stuff, whether it's in a muscle and fitness magazine, whatever. And I was like, oh, I heard that creatine's like girls shouldn't take it. So of course I just go to Blaine and I ask him and he'll explain it like you do, Sean, very scientifically. And then he's like, well, let me ask you this. And then he explains it and I go, okay, so I'll go buy some creatine. But I just added that to my list for today. So Sean, I hope you can see me. Like, I'm just bowing down to you now because I'm so glad we finally recorded our first show, because you're so ridiculously smart. I knew that already. This is going to be such a great series. So everybody listening, Sean and I will be doing at least one recording. I think we might have been doing some Facebook Lives, some in-person events, you know, all the rest of this year, but we're going to be educating on all of these topics. So if you have questions that you want Sean and I to cover, please make sure you email us to podcast@fitfluential.com. Maybe you can put in the subject line for Sean Wells and supplement interviews, whatever, something along those lines, so that we can filter those out. My assistant can filter those out for us accordingly, and we'll make sure we answer those on these shows. As we wrap up, Sean, I know we went over. If you can let folks know, we'll link this up, of course, in the show notes. Where can folks find out about BioTrust? Because I strongly, personally recommend these products. And where can they find more information or connect with you online?
Yeah, so BioTrust is just biotrust.com. And then for me, it's seanwells.com, SHAWNWELLS. You can go to Instagram at zonehalo, ZONEHALO. That's basically where to find me. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter and all those things too, but just look me up, Sean Wells. You'll find me.
Clearly, thank you so much. I'm so glad that we connected. I know this is just the beginning, and I mean, my God, I learned so much in this interview. That's the truth.
Oh, thank you.
I think that we're doing something that is sorely needed. There's so much education and guidance needed. And I'm going to say we're the ones to do it. I'm just the one that asks the questions. Sean's the smart guy that can provide the answers. So thank you so much for everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. All of the information will, of course, be in the show notes on fitfluentialradio.com. Again, if you have any questions for us, podcast@fitfluential.com. And thanks for tuning in today. We will see you next time. And remember, this is just episode one in our series we'll be doing with Sean Wells on supplements, everything A to Z, 101 to infinity. I just made that up while we were talking, by the way, and that kind of rhymed, so I like it. But we will see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.